St. Joseph Natchez 99.3.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministry. Living Word Ministry. Stay tuned and focus.
We magnify you, we glorify you. Oh God, your name is great and greatly to be praised. There is none like you. No one can compare to you. There's nothing in the creation that could compare to you, Lord God. We've searched all over. We couldn't find anything, not anyone, not anybody that can compare to you, Lord God. Father, there is none like you. No one can touch our heart like you do. No one can heal and deliver and set us free after the manner that the Lord has done. We thank you, Lord God, for just being with us, even when we're mean, Lord God, even when we're not faithful enough and not committed enough, even when we're, Lord God, down and don't want to give you praise, and maybe when we're too lazy to give you praise, and Lord, sometimes we feel, Lord God, useless, but Lord God, you can use us, and we want to praise you, Lord God, just for that. When the world turned their back on us and when people thought that we were nothing, Lord, you say, I look beyond your faults and I see your need, and I'll give you just what you need, and you gave us a word, and that word healed us, that word brought us to life, that word regenerated us and delivered us by your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for the process of sanctification and regeneration. We thank you, Lord God, that you predestined us and you foreknew us, Lord. We thank you, God, and we give you the glory. We give you praise. We honor you. We magnify you. Lord God, you're worth all that we have, all that we can give you. Every fiber of our being needs to line up with the worship that's in our heart and in our mind. We, Lord, we love you, and with the fruit of our lips, we will show forth this praise that you deserve. Father, we thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, Lord. Oh, come on. I wish you worship with me. Talk to the Lord. That's all I'm doing. I'm just talking to him. This is personal. It ain't got nothing to do with you. It's personal. I thank God. I thank you, Father, for just being my Father, being good. I thank you, Lord God, for giving me a regeneration, Lord God. I thank you that you redeemed me, that you made me over again. I thank you, Lord, that I walk in newness of life. I've taken off the old man and put on the new. I thank you, Lord, that you've given me the whole armor of God, that I may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all the stand, I stand with my helmet of salvation, my loins girded about with truth. I stand, Lord God, with my feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace and the breastplate of righteousness. Lord, above all, I take the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I take the shield of faith because it quenches all the fiery darts of the wicked. But Lord God, I thank you even more so that you didn't give me anything to cover my hinder part, so I'm not running from the devil, and I'm not running from trouble. I'm not running from trials. But Lord, you said in Psalm 23 that grace and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Oh God, I thank you. There's one thing that I desire of the Lord, and that what I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God in the highest. Thank you, Lord. Amen. 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 Thank God for Jesus. Amen, because he's the resurrection power. He is the resurrection. Amen. I can't resurrect you. You got to let Jesus do that. Get your Bibles and let's go to 2 Kings 2. 2 Kings 2. Amen. Amen. I want to use for a thought the reward of commitment. Amen. Amen.
Joshua was the general. He was the captain. But then he realized who the real captain was. He said, I'm the captain of the armies of the Lord. He realized now who he is. And Joshua bows down in reverence of the man, of the angel, to realize that, hey, I submit to you because of who you are. You're the captain. And because you're here, I want you to take over. And after that, Joshua didn't have to fight. He didn't have to fight when he went to Jericho because he let the Lord take over. Too many of us are fighting. We're trying to war with people, and we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Lord, help me. I'm talking to somebody. We try to war with each other. We try to war with situations. And he tells us that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down every imagination, every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. Preach. I don't hear that, so I got to say something to myself. Jericho. The smell of victory. That's where he met the angel. That's where they took the walk of faith. When they took the walk of faith, he told them, he said, I want you to go down to Jericho and walk around it one time every day. But on the seventh day, I want you to walk around it seven times, and then I want you to shout. But while you're walking them other days, I don't want nobody talking. I don't want you saying a word. I want you to hush. Amen. I want you to hear what I got to say, then I want you to holler. Lord help me. He says they walked around Jericho seven times, and then the seventh day, seven times in one day, and they gave the shout. Amen? And because of their obedience to the captain of the army of the Lord, because they got a word from God, he gave them victory without them pulling out their sword. And all they did was pull out their praise. Mm-hmm. That's all right. That's all right. You ain't got to say nothing, but some of you get it. So what I'm saying is that when you're committed to obey God and you're committed, it reminds you to bring you to a place like Jericho to remind you of the smell of victory. He lets you understand that the way to victory is by faith, and we have faith in Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, don't fear, because I've already overcome the world. So I don't care what you're dealing with in the world. He's already overcome the world. He gives you victory. We have this victory in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. We need to know that we have victory. And when you go to Jericho, it is to remind you that you need to keep your walk of faith. Oh yeah, you need to walk. The Bible said we walk by faith and not by sight. They saw the wall, but they walked by faith. And sooner or later, the walls, the Bible say, they fell down flat. They came tumbling down. These walls were big enough that you could put houses on top of the wall. They could live on top of the wall. But these walls fell down flat, and all they did was walk around and holler. Sound foolish, but that's faith. Lord, help us today. Your commitment, when you're faithful in your commitment, you'll realize what Jericho is, what it's all about. And then guess what? The Bible said that they said that not to let a man rebuild the walls of Jericho, not let him rebuild Jericho. Amen? And so when we talk about that, he said if they build it, they're going to be what? Accursed. In other words, there'll never be another place like Jericho, because there's one ultimate victory that God gives us. And when God gives us victory in Christ, we won't ever have to worry about the walls of Jericho again. I don't know what your walls look like in your life. I don't know what you've been marching around looking at, but I dare you to give it over to God, and because he's here, give it over to him. Let him give you victory. Amen. So you can have the smell, the fragrance of victory. That's Jericho. You know how it is. You come out, I smell victory today. Mm-hmm. Something good is about to happen. Oh, yeah, they can't keep you from it. The joy of the Lord just overpours in your spirit when you smell victory. No matter what it is, you know, you can have these children when they play basketball games or football games. It's like they get pumped up and they can smell victory. They know they're going to win when they get on the floor, on the court, or on the field. They know that they got victory. We need to take a note from them, and we need to rejoice. We need to celebrate before we even get in this thing. We need to learn how to take and say, I have a smell, a fragrance of victory all around me. Amen. All right. Verse 5. The son of the prophets that were at Jericho came and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, and answered, yeah, I know it. Be quiet. Hold your peace. He said, I already know. Everywhere he went, there was a confirmation that he was about to lose the person that he loved. He was about to be separated from him. He said, I know that day's coming, and the day is the day, but I ain't focusing on that right now. I'm focusing on serving. Look at that. I'm focusing on serving him and following him where he is going. Wherever he goes, I'm going. Amen? So he followed them, and he said now in verse 6, and Elijah said to him, stay here. I'm going to Jordan. The Lord has sent me to Jordan, and he said, as the Lord liveth, and thy soul liveth, I will not leave you. And they too went on. They too went on. The Bible says, how can two walk together except they what? Agree. You can't walk with the Lord except you're in agreement with what he says. You can't walk with me. I can't walk with you unless you agree. Amen. And too many times we try to be contrary to what God has already said and try to walk with him at the same time. That's not going to happen. Amen. And so the two went on, and it says, and 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood the view afar off, and they too stood by the Jordan. Now here it is. The Jordan represents a barrier. It represents something that's keeping you from going to wherever you're trying to get to. And so not only does it represent that, but the Jordan represents death, and it also represents resurrection, because it's in the Jordan where they were baptized. Amen. It was in the Jordan where they went from the death of being in the wilderness over into the promised land. Amen? Amen. What was promised? It's leaving what you have to go into what God has promised you. Amen? And so they went to the Jordan, and Elijah took his mantle, wrapped it together, and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, and so they too went on over on dry ground. They went to Jordan, and they too went over on dry ground because he took this mantle, wrapped it together, and smote the waters. He took this mantle, he took what his call, he took his anointing, and because of the anointing, he was able to do something nobody else could do. When you're committed, God will allow you to operate under the anointing. He will allow you to live under the anointing. He will allow you to walk under the anointing, that what seemed to be impossible, God makes it possible because of your commitment to him. Praise to God. Praise God. Hallelujah. When we look at this, he says, now they went over on dry ground, and it came to pass when they were gone over, Elijah said unto Elijah, ask what I should do for thee before I take away thee from, be taken away from thee. And Elijah said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Now, we just talked about how he reinforced his commitment, how he took him all those places to reinforce him, to get him to where he's ready. When I'm gone, you're going to be all right. Amen? So they went to Jordan, which represents the death and also a resurrection. It represents something old going off the scene and something new coming up. Because when you die, something old going away. And when you're resurrected, you have a new body, a new life, and God is giving you a new opportunity. Come on and say amen. And so here it is. Something is about to die. The old is about to die, and the new is about to resurrect. Amen? The old. Elijah, where all you had is judgment. Amen. Now you got Elisha, who names mean God is salvation. That means the newness is now about to resurrect, and God is about to save his people. Come on and say amen. And so they get to the place where they come to the Jordan, and they go across, and he said, what shall I do for you? And he says, just, I want a double portion of your anointing. I've been following you all this time. I've been committed to you all this time. And I know that if I can get a double portion and I can be as great as you are, it takes a double portion for me to be just what you are. Amen? And so he said, you ask. In verse 10, he said, you're asking a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken from you, he said, it'll be unto you. But if not, you won't get it. Amen. In other words, if you stay committed, you'll get what you need. If you lose your commitment, then you won't get it. Amen. If you stay committed, you get a double portion. If you're not committed, then your double portion is going to be taken away. Do I have any witnesses here? If you stay committed, I'm going to bless you. If you're not committed, don't look for the blessing. Oh, I wish I had somebody. Let me say it how James said it. James said, he said, if you come in and you pray to God for something, ask in faith. But if you wait, but don't think that you can receive anything from God, because if you don't have faith and if you're not faithful, see, faith is not saying I believe and doing whatever you want to do. Faith is saying I believe and I'm going to be faithful in what I'm supposed to do. And so God will bless me because of my faithfulness. Amen. And for your faithfulness is your time. Do I have any witnesses here? And so he said, if you stay faithful, if you see me when I'm going up, if you don't take your eyes off of me, if you continue to be focused on what I'm doing, focused on the ministry that God has given me, focused on the anointing that God has placed upon me, focused on doing and serving me as we walk along the way, if you're focused and committed, then you'll get everything you're asking for. That's why the Bible tells us that if we have faith, we can ask what we will and it shall be done unto us. Do I have any witnesses that say, I'm a witness that I had faith. I'm a witness that I stayed committed and that when God asked, when I asked God for something, he granted me what I asked for. Amen. The Bible tells us that if we have the word of God in us and we abide in the word, he said, ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. John chapter 15. We need to know that in that God is glorified and God intends to bless us, but he's looking for a committed people that he can commit a blessing to. Oh, do I have any witnesses here? Oh, yeah. And the Bible says in verse 11, after we look at what happened in verse 9, we see the response that he gave him. He said that I really want to be blessed with the anointing. I don't want houses and wealth because I can get that at my father's house where I left the plantation. I can get all of that, but all I need is an anointing. Why is it that he wanted a double portion of the spirit and the anointing that was upon Elijah? It's because it is the anointing that makes the difference. He said, I don't want to just make a difference. I want to keep making a difference. Come on and say, man, we need the anointing in our life so that we can make a difference in not only our life but in the lives of others. See, the anointing that is upon me is not just for me, but the anointing is for you if you would receive it on this morning. The anointing is for you because the anointing makes a difference. The Bible says the anointing takes away the burdens. The anointing destroys the yoke. Some of us have been yoked in with some stuff. We've been burdened down with some things, but you got to come to the anointing, and not only come to it, but you got to commit to the anointing in order for you to get some relief from your burdens. That's why you can't cast your cares on him and he care for you until you're committed to him. Do I have any witnesses here? What do you have to commit to God? Everybody that got blessed, they committed something to God. The reason why they called him Jehovah Jireh, that he provided for him, is because at first where Abraham committed to Jehovah his son Isaac and said, I don't want to withhold anything from you, and God blessed him. When Jacob met the Lord, he said, Lord, I'm giving you all of me. And God said, no longer you'll be called Jacob, but you'll be called Israel. And so God blessed him. Do I have any witnesses? God will bless you. Hezekiah, the Bible said that when he was sick, that the prophet Elijah went in and told him, he said, today you're going to die. And he said, prepare your house and get it in order. You're about to die. He turned and he prayed. He committed to God. And he said, God, remember, I was committed when nobody else was. And God said, now turn around, go tell him I'll give him 15 more years because now I remember everything that he done. And so all I'm saying is that people who are committed happen to be people who are blessed. People who are committed happen to be people who are anointed. People who are committed happen to be people who get what God has, and the promises of God come to them. They are yea and amen. And so now we understand that he had the reinforcement of his commitment, but he had to respond by showing that he was committed. And then we have the reward of commitment. Let's look at this. And it came to pass as they still went on and talked, and behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and a horse of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up in a whirlwind into heaven. Now, many theologians say this is a picture of a raptured soul, a picture of a raptured believer, because Elijah, when he was raptured up, he didn't die, but he was raptured up. And so it appeared to them without warning as they talked, without warning as they had a discussion, and without warning as Elijah was imparting into Elisha, without warning, all of a sudden there appeared a chariot and he was taken up in the wind. Come on and say amen. And so does that not sound like what the description of when Jesus comes back? There will not be any warning, because no man knows the day nor the hour that he comes. See, you running around thinking that you got plenty of time. And do you know that's a trick of the devil? That's his plan, to make you think you got all the time in the world. I'm working on me. You better quit working on you and give you to him. Preach anyway. You need to give you to him and let him work on you. Because when he work on you, or his workmanship, oh, come on and say amen. When he works on you, everything is right. He know how to fine-tune you because he made you. He knows how to reprogram you because he made you. You need to give you to him. Preach anyway. We got to see here that I can't fix me. I need God to fix me. So you need to tell those people who are not patient with you that you've been lying to, telling that you're trying to get yourself together and get yourself right. You need to tell them today, I'm not trying to fix me anymore. I'm waiting on God to fix me. I'm not trying to make this work anymore. I'm just going to let God make it work in my life. I'm not trying to please you. I'm ready to please God. You want me to fit into your mold, boo? No, that's not going to happen. I'm finna fit into what God will has for me. And by me fitting in his will, if you want to be with me, you can come on, follow me to Gilgal. But you got to follow me to Bethel, the church. Then you got to follow me to Jericho and march with faith. You got to walk this walk of faith. Then you can follow me. Come on and say amen to Jordan so we can die to some things, but we can live to some things too. Do I have any witnesses? I won't be unequally yoked in this thing. I just want you to know that I'm going to walk the walk that God has for me. The just shall live by faith. And so I'm looking for my reward because I've been committed. Come on and say amen here. When we look at what happened to Elijah, the Bible said that Elijah in his reward. Now, we got to understand something. If you're committed, this was a message to you. Elijah, because of his commitment, couldn't taste the death. Elijah, because of his commitment, was taken up alive. Do I have any witnesses here? We need to know that because you commit to God, you don't have to die. You don't have to taste the death. Come on and say amen. The Bible said if you believe that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You will have eternal life if you are committed to God. You will live forever. There's no dying for you because Elijah didn't die because of his commitment. While everybody else was going off behind other gods, while everybody else was trying to serve Baal, while everybody else was doing things that they shouldn't have been doing. Do I have a witness here? While everybody else were going after other gods and idol gods. Come on and say amen. Help me here. While everybody else, come on and say amen. While they were doing whatever they wanted to do, the Bible says that Elijah, he said, I'm only going to serve God. He even told God, I'm the only one serving you. But God let him know that I got 7,000 here that you don't know about. But you know one thing, at least he was committed. He said, if nobody else commits, I'm going to be the committed one. What about you? If nobody in your family commits, will you be committed? If nobody else at your school children commits, will you be the committed one? If nobody on the job want to commit to the Lord, will you be the committed one? Come on and say amen. If nobody else at work want to commit to God, will you be the one to say, I'm committed to the Lord? So come hell or high water, I'm going to stand on the word of God. Can I get a witness here? But his reward was eternal life. His reward was they didn't have to bury him. His reward was that a chariot came and they penned the song from what he experienced that said, swing low, sweet chariot, coming forth to carry me home. We need to understand that this chariot of the Lord, the Bible said, look at this, and Elijah saw it. He was right there with him. He was so committed that he was able to see something that nobody else saw. Come on and say amen. Let me prove that nobody else saw it. You had 50 men on the other side of the river that was watching them as they walked. Those 50 men didn't see it because if you keep reading, they say, you want us to go look for your master? We can go find and search the countryside and see if we can find him somewhere. They didn't see the chariot of the Lord, but it was the only person that was there, Elisha. He was the only one that was able to see it because of his commitment. What kept the other 50 from going over on dry ground at the Jordan? They stopped at the Jordan. They could have followed just like Elijah. You see, I'm trying to tell you, there's no reason for you to stop. If the pathway is there, you need to keep walking the path and get over to the other side. It's no telling what you might see. Oh, come on and say amen here. There's some things that you need to see because when you see it, it'll catapult you into the place where you need to be in God. If you see it, it'll cause you to be able to walk in the call and the anointing that God have for you. I'm preaching, amen. I believe, I feel good. Ain't nobody happy but me. Yeah, you don't have to get happy. I'm happy. And the Bible says that when he saw it, he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. He said, and he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and he rent them into pieces. Look, he tore his own clothes off. He said, no longer do I need these clothes because I got a new mantle. I got something else to wear. Look at verse 13. And he took up the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood at the bank of the Jordan. He went back to the place that was separated so he could walk over on dry ground. He then took off his clothes now, but he's wearing a prophet's garment. Before he was wearing just a servant's garment. Before he was just a minister, but now he's elevated. So he has an anointing on his life that will bring him a double portion. But sometimes a double portion means double trouble. But I got a double anointing to handle the double mess that comes my way. Come on and preach it. Oh yeah, I got a double anointing to handle double trouble, double mess, double misery, double tribulation. But I got a double anointing that the enemy don't even know I have. So he took that mantle and he wrapped it up. In other words, what happened was he didn't realize God already had given him an anointing. He had that for himself. But then he took the anointing of Elijah and he said, I got his and mine. Now let's see what's going to happen now. Went back to the Jordan, and the Bible says he took the mantle and he smote the waters and he said, where is the God of Elijah? In other words, he wasn't trying to say, where is God, as if he was questioning God. He said, God, the same God that did it for Elijah, boom, you can do it for me. And all I'm saying is, if you're committed to God, the same God that healed you, preach somebody. Oh, come on. The same God that healed somebody else, the same God will heal you. The same God that brought him out through the Red Sea will take you through your Red Sea. The same God that he took them from the fiery furnace and they wasn't even bothered by the fire will take you out of the fire. Oh, come on and say amen. The same God that allowed Daniel to go into the lion's den and come out unhurt is going to be the same God that brings you out of the lion den when they lied on you. Oh, preach anyway. The same God that took Paul through shipwrecks and being stoned and left for dead is going to be the same God when they do things to you that'll bring you. Come on and say amen. The same God that when Paul was snake bitten and he didn't die, and when those snakes bite you, he'll teach you how to handle